Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
As we look beyond the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and the end of long-term nation building with large military footprints, we'll be able to ensure our security with smaller conventional ground forces.
President Obama, in a rare appearance at the Pentagon briefing room yesterday, announcing historic plans for a smaller military budget. Let's look at how small and what it would mean for the U.S. budget deficit as well as national security. With Elizabeth Buemiller, New York Times Pentagon correspondent, she's here now to discuss what the president announced yesterday and also to help guide you through a new online tool from The Times that lets you build your own military or shrink it your way. And you can see that on our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show or use the link there to get to this interesting Times tool. And hi, Elizabeth. Thanks a lot for doing this.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
And again, listeners, we invite you to go online while you listen to this because this tool from The Times is a great interactive experience. And you learn a lot in the process about how our tax dollars get spent on the military. We have the link on our page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. So go there right now. And in a minute, we'll look at war spending through the lens of this tool, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. In the meantime, Elizabeth, fill us in on some of the basics of the president's announcement. For example, there's long been a two-war standard, that the U.S. should be able to fight two wars at the same time if necessary. This is explicitly abandoned in this blueprint, right?
Well, we're getting into semantics here. There has long been a set goal at the Pentagon that the U.S. should be able to fight two conventional large-scale ground wars simultaneously. In reality, the U.S. has not been able to do that for a very long time, as we learned in the last decade when the U.S. had to build up the Army and the Marines to be able to fight in Iraq and Afghanistan. It also had to draw down a bit in Iraq to do a surge in Afghanistan in the first year of President Obama's term. But what this does now is the Pentagon now says the U.S. will be able to fight one conventional ground war and spoil or make life difficult for an adversary in another part of the world, in addition to doing humanitarian assistance or an air campaign over Libya. No one at the Pentagon is saying we're abandoning the two-war strategy because it's an election year. No one wants to invite adversaries to come in and think the U.S. has a weaker military. But the reality is it's sort of a one-and-a-half war strategy.
And we'll play right a now. Smattering of clips from the Republican presidential hopefuls in a couple of minutes and see how they're trying to criticize what the president is doing. But in your article today, you quote Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral James Winnefeld, saying there would be a slow build-down of the Army that would be reversible in case of a national emergency. What does that mean in terms of numbers of Army troops?
Well, right now, we reported, Tom Shanker and I, Thomas, my colleague on the Pentagon beat, that Leon Panetta, the Defense Secretary, thinks the Army should come down to 490,000 troops. Right now it's at 570, largely because of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's a big buildup from a decade ago. Shrinking to 490 would bring it back down to about where it was before September 11th. And this would happen over the course of a decade. So the Pentagon is trying to avoid basically firing soldiers. And so it would happen over the course of a decade. Should there be a massive need, a ground war someplace, the Pentagon says it could do a massive mobilization of the National Guard and reserves in a case of an emergency. I mean, if there should be two national emergencies, basically. And so because they're very aware of what happened, again, a decade ago when Donald Rumsfeld, then the defense secretary, said much the same thing, that the U.S. is going to have a leaner, meaner, more agile force and didn't need these massive troop numbers. And we know what happened.
Well, what happened was he said that before 9/11, and then
right.
9/11 happened.
And then everything changed. And so right now people are, you know, the military officials are saying, you know, we're not going to go into a major land war with China. We're not going to have a land war with Iran. But imagine, just think on September 10th, 2001. Nobody would ever have predicted what happened.
Right. So, listeners, I know many of you probably do fantasize about cutting the military budget so that we would have more to spend on education, more to spend on health, et cetera, et cetera. How? Give us a call. Talk to Elizabeth Bue Miller, New York Times Pentagon correspondent, about cutting the military budget, because this is one of those moments, and these things tend to be cyclical over the course of history, but this is one of those moments where they actually are going to start cutting the military budget. So what do you want to ask about this, or what do you want to recommend? And go to the New York Times tool via our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show, and you can get to the link to this great new tool called The Future Military, Your Budget Strategy. But if you want to call in, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Elizabeth, let's turn to the tool. And it very simply lists the biggest ticket Pentagon spending items and lets people figure out how much they could cut from the military budget by eliminating which item, from nuclear weapons to health care for veterans.
Right.
And, you know, as I look at the biggest ways to cut the military budget, along the lines of what we were just discussing on the size of the Army, like it or not, the cuts would be on people. By far the biggest ticket saving here would be to reduce the active duty troops by 15% to 20% and the Pentagon civilian workforce by 30%. And that would all save more than $500 billion over the next 10 years. So I think maybe the single biggest point that the tool makes is we can't cut nuclear warheads and controversial fighter planes and other things that we love to hate and get there that way without cutting jobs for people who want to go into the military, right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, if you look at the calculator, you can also see that some really big ticket items are in benefits. And again, the Pentagon says anyone in the active duty military is grandfathered in. But for example, if you want to cut health care benefits for military retirees, and bear in mind, these are people who have served 20 years, and many of them, these are working age retirees. These are not people who they're between, say, between 43 and 65. Many of them already have jobs beyond, they have second career jobs. They're, say, working at a defense contractor. And they're using the Pentagon's extremely generous health care benefits rather than the health care benefits of their private employer, because those benefits are more expensive. And so if you made cuts, or if you made the Pentagon benefits, which they have, slightly more expensive, you can save $100 billion right there. Now, this is a very difficult political option, but there's something like this I'm certain is going to there'll be some sort of cuts in this way.
So, for example, people could eliminate a health insurance plan called TRICARE Prime for military retirees, which would cost many retired military families, according to the chart, $4,000 a year more for out-of-pocket health expenses. But that would save taxpayers $105 billion over the next 10 years. And then there's the cut in military retirement pay for new recruits, like they're trying to do for other kinds of public sector workers, lower pensions for future workers than today's workers. That's another $86 billion over the next 10 years. Do you think those are all politically untenable because nobody's going to cut Veterans Affairs?
Well, they're very politically difficult, that's true. But Leon Panetta has said that the personnel costs at the Pentagon right now are unsustainable. And that's a view that's shared by a fair number of both Democrats and Republicans. So it's going to be a tough fight, but I think there's going to be some. I suspect there'll be something at least on the edges here in this system, because there've been people have looked out over the next 20 years, and there's been calculations made that if you don't do something about this now, again, grandfathering in current service members, and this is just for the new entrants, but if you don't do something now, by 2035, the entire Pentagon budget will be personnel costs.
Let's take a couple of phone calls. Matt in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Matt.
Hey, when I was in college, I worked in a physics lab, and it was funded by Defense Department money, or money that was certainly earmarked for some sort of defense thing. And I'm just wondering whether or not we would be able to make this more politically palatable by talking about repurposing some of that defense money for research and development, get it to our universities, get it to the sorts of people who do basic science research that then in turn can play a really significant role in new technologies in the market economy. So you, in fact, have sort of a multiplier effect. It'd be sort of like a kind of stimulus, but an R&D stimulus. And then so we wouldn't be paying people to stand around holding guns. We'd be paying scientists and college students and grad students to do research that then can play a really important role in rebuilding our economy.
And where does that fit into the Pentagon budget as it is, Elizabeth?
Well, right now, there actually, if you look at our calculator, there is a proposal that's been put forth by some people that you could cut 10% of the research, the R&D budget. That would save you over 10 years, the projected $79 billion. Pentagon says right now that R&D is some of the most important things. That's one of the most important things it does. And this is it's vital, you know, for future technologies, you know, to help develop, you know, cyber warfare, intelligence gathering, all the things that, you know, the president emphasized yesterday that the Pentagon was not going to, you know, cut. So, but it's an interesting idea. But bear in mind that if you cut it out of the Pentagon budget, you're going to put it in somebody else's budget. And the overall goal here for the government is to cut the budget overall, not just the Pentagon budget.
It is a really interesting number on the interactive tool, because $79 billion over 10 years is actually one of the biggest ticket items that they have. So they spend a lot on research and development.
Right, right. But again, it's a I mean, we're not. By the way, these cuts are nothing that we are suggesting. These are cuts that have been proposed by various, you know, think tanks, you know, military sort of task forces, and that sort of thing. So. But I suspect that one is, I don't know that that's going to really realistically be cut. I just, you know, that's a real tough one, too.
Lorne in New Rochelle, you're on WNYC. Hi, how would you cut the defense budget?
Hi, Brian. My biggest concern is the waste. Anytime you take a look at the line items from any large corporation, you can always cut waste. And one of the biggest projects that seems to have escaped everybody's conversation is this $260 billion worth of a project that basically is going to get shut down. That was, I forget what the specific plane was, but I understand that it hasn't reached its potential and it's likely to be cut. And how many more of these programs exist if this one alone is $250 billion?
What plane is this you're talking about?
It was a jumper plane that it's still under development. I believe McDonnell Douglas and Lockheed are major contractors in it, and it so far has cost the military about $260 billion.
So you're not for this jumper plane. You're saying this
not
is an
all.
Area of waste.
It's not only me. I mean, the Congress is evaluating whether or not to cut this, and it seems to be stalled. And I don't understand why it would be stalled. It's been, I don't know how many, 11 years or more in development.
Mm. Elizabeth, are you familiar with what he might be talking about?
I apologize. I'm not familiar with that. And certainly not with the number. It did not turn up in any of the we looked at a lot of these proposed cuts from all over Washington. I didn't see it turn up anywhere.
You did an article recently about the Osprey warplane.
Right, right.
Which has been an expensive and controversial thing, but keeps getting saved, I think, for political and lobbying reasons. Did the Osprey survive again with the president and Leon Panetta's announcement yesterday?
Well, we don't know. The announcement yesterday was just a broad strategy, and you know they'll fill in the numbers later this month. I can tell you that the proposals to cut the Osprey have been around for you know 20 years and. Or more. Right now, the general calculation is that if you stop the procurement of if you stop buying Ospreys right now, you would save about $8 billion. Not a huge amount of money. One reason is that there's a fair number of them already in operation, and I might add the Marines love them. It's a Marine aircraft because it you know takes off like a helicopter, flies like an airplane, and the Marines like it because it can get them in and out of tight spots. It's, you know, in and out quickly, which is what the Marines do. And so, you know, it's kind of like it's a little late now. The Osprey has survived 20 years, and it's in operation, including in Afghanistan. So, again, cutting it wouldn't what's left to build of it wouldn't save that much money.
Elizabeth Buemiller, New York Times Pentagon correspondent, our guest, as we talk about President Obama's announcements yesterday about military spending cuts over the next 10 years, and also look at this new New York Times interactive tool that lists many of the major ticket items that the military spends money on and lets you kind of build your own military budget or shrink your own military budget. And I know some of you have definitely fantasized about shrinking the military your way. Now you can do it at least on paper or online with this New York Times tool, and you can get there from our page. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehr Show if you want to play along or keep calling in to tell us how you would cut the military budget. Elizabeth, you know, looking at these numbers, they can be numbing. $147 billion for this, $387 billion for that, $73 billion for another thing. I'm just looking, you know, at one little section of the list here, and these are 10-year numbers. But what's the total figure? Do you have it on the tip of
sure.
your tongue? How much do we spend on the military overall every year?
Oh, sure. It's easy. It's 500. Right now, the current Pentagon budget, the base budget, is $533 billion. We spend about $500 billion every year on just the basic operations of the Pentagon. That does not include the cost of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. They're in a separate budget. When you include them, it's about a $700 billion military budget. Now, the cost of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are obviously going to come down over the next 4 or 5 years. So, for some perspective,
how much of the total federal budget is that?
That's not as much as you would think. I think it's about 10%. It's not as much as you would think. I think the bigger number, the way to put this in a bigger context is that the U.S. spends more money on defense than all other countries in the world combined. So that's a big number.
That's one to stop and linger on and take another sip of our coffee and consider for a moment. The U.S. spends more money on the military than all other countries in the world combined?
Right. But interestingly, China has larger ground forces than the United States. But the question is, how well are they trained? How well are they equipped and supplied? How quickly could they mobilize? But that's an interesting number, too, that China has a bigger army than we do.
Joel in Union, you're on WNYC. Hey, Joel.
Hi, Brian. Thank you. Thank you for bringing up that global question, which has been my question for 40 years. What is the overall mission of our military? Who is threatening us? Why do we need so much defense? Or is the military really just a conservative welfare program primarily?
Thank you, Joel. And I'm glad we've been able to answer a question that you've been, you know, asking for 40 years. But, Elizabeth, it's a really good question. I mean, if we say, that the role of the Defense Department, and it's called the Defense Department, is
right.
to defend against actual physical attacks on the territory of the United States, then it would probably be a lot less than it is, right?
Well, the stated goal of the Defense Department is to defend against all enemies, and threats at all times, and you know that's a pretty big order. There's a lot of enemies out there, but it's also one of the things the Defense Department does is maintain military relationships with allies, and it has bases all over the world. Works with countries like the Philippines. You don't hear much about that. To try and so just keep things, tamped down there. There's a small terrorist threat in the Philippines. So they do a lot of, working with allies, a lot of training of foreign militaries, a lot of right now there's, aircraft carriers patrolling, as we know, in the Strait of Hormuz, in the Pacific. There's a strong deterrent role for the U.S. military.
Which,
does that help? They also build a lot of weapons, and build a lot of ships and a lot of planes. Yeah.
I don't know, Joel. Does that help?
It's interesting. It enlarges the scope. Of course, we have such terrible problems with the social fabric in this country, and the political attitude is, we give in to the military for their pleadings, and then neglect education, what infrastructure, environment. I mean, we're suffering in this country. Can we really afford all these luxury things, or is it again a conservative welfare program? I mean, is it a matter of jobs? Jobs is a very multi-meaning term.
Sure, and we just saw the unemployment rate tick down with some fairly good news in the monthly jobs report that came out this morning. It sounds like, Elizabeth, that we're not going to add to the unemployment rolls with this downsizing of the military because it's going to be done through attrition?
Well, we don't know yet. Again, we don't know what kind of weapons programs are going to be reduced or cut. We'll know more when Obama, presents his budget at the beginning of February. So one thing that the defense contractors are doing right now, the Lockheed Martin, the big defense contractors, is making the argument that if you cut our programs, we're going to have to do layoffs, we'll close down factories, and so forth. I mean, the F-35, the Joint Strike Fighter, which is in development, it's this new stealthy super duper fighter jet, is one of the most expensive weapons programs in history. It's probably going to take some trims around the edges. And, defense contractors are saying, if you do it too much, we're going to close down factories and we're going to have to lay people off. And so this is one of their big arguments, one of their big lobbying points.
We have 150,000 American troops stationed in Europe and Asia. If we eliminated that, it would save... if we just cut a third of those out, it would save $70 billion over the next 10 years, according to the Times tool. So that's, Joel raises a very fundamental question about how much is really necessary to defend the United States and how much is for other reasons, for jobs, for pork, for economic, for economic reasons rather than national security reasons. We're almost out of time, but I want to play a sample of what the Republican presidential hopefuls have been saying about military positioning on the campaign trail. We will hear Romney, Paul, and Santorum in that order.
I will reverse President Obama's massive defense cuts. Time and again, we've seen that attempts to balance the budget by weakening our military only lead to a far higher price in the future, not only in treasure, but also in blood.
There's a lot of money spent in the military budget. It doesn't do any good for our defense. How does it help us to keep troops in Korea all these years? We're broke. We have to borrow this money. Why are we in Japan? Why do we subsidize Germany? We're broke.
I would absolutely not cut one penny out of military spending. The first order of the federal government. The only thing the federal government can do that no other level of government can do is protect us. It is the first duty of the President of the United States is to protect us.
So in that order, Romney, Paul, and finally Santorum, campaigning for president. Elizabeth Buehmiller, New York Times Pentagon correspondent. Before you go, I guess Santorum took the hardest line there, which is that he would not cut one penny of military spending. Is it clear to you how much of what the president announced yesterday might be reversed if any of those candidates are elected?
When you're a candidate, you can say lots of things, and then you come to Washington and see the reality. Sure, there's going to be fights over these defense cuts, but what's interesting to me is that there is not as much pushback in Congress from the Republicans as you would expect on this. Now, there's certainly pushback from the Armed Services Committees, the people who are defense hawks, but you would be surprised that there's, because of the intense Republican interest in cutting the budget and cutting spending, there is not as much crying about this as you would as in previous years. So it's an interesting topic. The other thing I would just say is that, Obama has kept up in terms of national security. He's intensified and expanded the drone program. Drone strikes in Pakistan. He has killed Osama bin Laden. He has ousted Muammar Gaddafi from Libya. So the Republicans, there's not as much room for them to go after him for being weak on defense as there might have been enough with other Democratic presidential candidates.
Elizabeth Buehmiller, New York Times Pentagon correspondent. Again, you can see the Times' new interactive tool on what you would cut from the military budget to save how much money. You can get there through our page. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Elizabeth, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Coming up next, a critique of Governor Cuomo's plan from the State of the State address to build the nation's largest convention center in Queens. Stay with us.